All right, welcome, welcome back to Path to Purchase, the sales page portion of this course. So, we are going to do it a little differently today. Instead of me working from slides, which you know I usually do, I'm going to be working from a worksheet that Pamela Wilson created for us. This was part of her original Offer Accelerator program. That was like a five-figure program. So, this is very special that we get to use this piece. And this is about writing a sales page very quickly, getting the most important chunks down. Now, if you were with us last week, this will be easier, or if you checked out the replay last week, because we created some blocks that we'll be able to kind of copy and paste in here. Probably rewrite a little bit so they're cohesive, but we already built some of the blocks that will come in handy for today. So that's why I kind of structured it that way, just to give us a little bit of an idea generation and a word generation before we get started. So before we get started, I'm going to base this session very heavily on Pamela's work. And I just want to say, building a sales page, like writing sales copy, is like a lot of other crafts. You could think of it as similar to maybe carpentry. There are a lot of different ways to create a chair, right? You can have an artisan that hand carves it out of a really special piece of wood. It's one of a kind. You've got IKEA that mass manufactures chairs. Some of them are very good. Some of them are, maybe not as great. Some chairs just do the job. Some chairs are, very artisanal. So there's a lot of right ways to do this, but it is important that we end up with a chair we can sit in, right? It won't fall apart and it feels pretty good to sit in. And so when we're doing a sales page, we want this to be something that when we put it in front of somebody who's been in our email list, who's got a connection, or even just a connection to us, right? They might know us on social. They might know us on LinkedIn. They might know us from meeting us in an event, that person is going to have the information they need to make a good decision. And we have presented ourselves in a persuasive light. There is really no such thing as a sales page that will sell something to somebody who has no want for that product. It just honestly doesn't really exist. But if the person is in the market, this is something they want, maybe something they need, and it's within their budget, here's how to present it so it makes it more likely that they will buy it. And before we roll into the worksheet, just a reality check. Most of our audiences at any given time are not in the right space. They either don't want it right now, the timing is not right, or they don't have budget for it right now. So that's just reality. So if you put it in front of 100 people and no one buys, that doesn't mean the sales page was bad. You just might need more people. So just keep that in mind. But there are things we can tweak. We can give ourselves the best chance that if we put it in front of 100 people, a good number is somewhere between 2 and 5 will buy, or will at least move closer to a sale. They might send you an email and say, the timing isn't right now, but I am very interested in this. So that would be a win. When you get somebody in a real world context, and we have a bonus for those conversations, like real world conversations, sales conversations, that number could be anything from 5% to like 40%. Sometimes it's higher than 40, because we can adjust to what they're saying. Okay, this is really important to them. We can add a little more of that and maybe not talk about the thing they just said. I don't actually care about that. We won't talk about it. In a sales page, we don't have that luxury, but we do some of that work in our email because we can come at things from different angles. We can give them more than one reason. So email plus a sales page is better than just a sales page, but probably not as good as a real life conversation. So there's lots of different ways to, and these are just conversations to help people make a good decision. We're never trying to talk somebody into not making a good decision. because that would be wrong. Okay, so I'm going to get into Pamela's worksheet. If you're catching this on the replay, there will be a link to the worksheet right at the top of the replay page that she created to write a sales page that sells. It's a copy creator. And it walks you through a step-by-step template for building a well-converting sales page. And we just work on it one section at a time. None of these sections is rocket science. None of them requires you to be a master copywriter. But it can be an intimidating process. Just work through it step by step. And of course, send it to me when you're, don't wait till you feel like it's 80% there. If you feel like it's 50% there, go ahead and send it to me or anytime you feel stuck. Messy middle is just fine. Okay, and I am going to be doing a little bit of reading from Pamela's worksheet. Normally, I would never ever give a presentation that way, but for the folks who are here live, that's going to help them actually do the work. Okay, so we've got eight sections. You can write these very informally, write them in the way you would send a short note to the person in your audience who would be a good buyer. And the more investment your offer is, the more information that person needs before they make a decision. This is a financial investment, but also a time investment. If this is something that's going to take somebody a big investment of time, energy, work, team time, anything like that, then the sales page may need more information. You may need to schedule a call. You may have additional resources. Okay, so we're going to start with the headline and the first paragraph. By the way, the worksheet, I'll just walk through it here, shows you there's eight sections and it shows you how on a web page those just get organized, right? There's eight different sections. Just work through them piece by piece. If one of them is giving you absolute, agitation, skip to the next one and then sit with it for a little bit and or email me and say, I'm all good, but the pricing page is giving me fits and we'll get you figured out. Okay, headline in the first paragraph. So the headline reflects that core transformation that your offer will deliver. If this is attention getting, and the best way to get attention is to speak to a problem or a really desirable opportunity. So Pamela's suggestion, how you can do this desirable thing in this small amount of time. There are a lot of headline formulas out there, but that is a good one. Now, if your thing is not about a small amount of time, but it's about a small amount of stress, you would do that, right? How you can get this result you really want without doing something undesirable. How you can change, using an example from a person who's here live, how you can change patient satisfaction reports without spending hours and hours and hours on team training that your team doesn't want and doesn't have time for, and you don't have time for, right? But you can make a real difference in those satisfaction surveys with a very quick intervention. So how you can do the desirable thing or solve a painful problem without something undesirable, like spending a lot of money, like spending a lot of time, like doing something your team does not want to do, like doing something you don't want to do. Okay. So reflect core transformation. Using the word you is generally almost always a best practice in a headline. So I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to write a headline for a sales page. This one has a little doobity doobity in it, so you can fill it in. Make it about the transformation that this offer delivers and include the word you. And just for today, we're going to write one sales page. We're not going to write sales pages for everything. It's already a little intimidating, right, to write one sales page. Write an easy one, get it out of the way, or it's easy for you, and then do the same process the next time. You will probably end up doing this in your business dozens of times, maybe hundreds of times. And the template will make it easy, and each one will feel different because the details of every offer are a little different. So before I set a timer for a little bit of free writing, good, Susan. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to give you just a minute for this, but if you need more time, live person here, wave your hands, we can give you more time. But let's just free write on it for a minute. I'll shut my app so you can focus. It doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be it just has to speak to what they want to change and what would make it too hard for them to make that change. They feel like I can't put a lot of time in. Okay, I'm going to give you 1 minute starting now. Okay, just a few more seconds. All right. And I just popped into this box, how to fix their problem or seize a juicy opportunity without the thing they don't want to do or the thing they think they can't do. All right, so moving on. So the first paragraph of the sales page is an opportunity for you to empathize with your prospect and connect with them and really feel like a heart-to-heart personal connection. And of course, we make heart-to-heart connections in the professional world as well. We might not use the same squishy language. Every scenario is going to use different language, but we still empathize with people at work, right? We still help people solve their pain problems at work. So B2B, B2C, business to business, business to customer, business to government, business to small business, business to healthcare organization, business to nonprofit. We still help people solve problems and seize opportunities, and we still empathize. That's just part of being human. All right, so some copywriters call these first two paragraphs of a sales page the two worlds section. The first paragraph paints the current world. That's generally a world where things are not the way we want them to be. That's why there's a sales opportunity. We describe their struggles with empathy and we demonstrate that we understand how they feel. So we're going to write the first paragraph of the sales page, and this is describing their current world with empathy. Here's what's going on with you. Here's what's not working well, or here's where there's a missed opportunity. It could be so much better than it is. So I'm going to give you 2 minutes, and if that's 2 minutes that you spend looking over last week's work and copying and pasting, that's great. Or just free write. It's never bad to have an extra couple of paragraphs. Every time we rewrite the same scenario, we come up with a little bit of a fresh angle or a new language. So I'm going to give this 2 minutes. I'll mute myself and I will write in the document. A couple of examples. Now, when we say paragraph, sometimes a paragraph is only a sentence or two sentences. So it does not need to be a five sentence paragraph like a book report. All right, I'll give you 2 minutes starting now. Got about 40 seconds left of that 2 minutes. Okay, really well done. So a few notes that I popped into this box in the worksheet are, you can start it with something like, here's what I've noticed about situations like yours, organizations, whatever the specifics are, right? Here's what I've noticed about people who bring a new puppy home. There never seems to be enough. Is there something lacking, right? What's missing in their world right now? What's lacking? Other fruitful areas to explore. What doesn't feel good? What does not feel good right now with where they are today? Sometimes it's not a deeply rooted pain. Sometimes it's just something that's really, really annoying. So there's a spectrum across different kinds of buyers. If you are working on a threshold offer, a sales page for a threshold offer, we might not be speaking to their deepest, darkest pain. We might just be speaking to something that's like, like they just stapled their finger. I mean, it hurts, but it's not their deepest, darkest pain. It's just really, really freaking annoying. So what's less than satisfactory about the world that they're in right now? And this is obviously, it doesn't matter what topic we're in, we can talk infinitely about this, right? People also find this infinitely fascinating. We all find our own problems infinitely fascinating. I don't have enough this. I don't have enough that. I'm not happy about this. I'm frustrated about that. I'm worried about this. I really wish, it's really not okay with me that the puppy peed behind the sofa, right? I'm really not happy about that. It's not life-changing, but it's not good either. And we all love to hear about our own problems. We all love to talk about our own problems. That's why most businesses are about solving problems. Okay, so the second paragraph is where we describe something that could be better, and how we can help them deliver that. And we present our solution. Now, in this worksheet, Pamela is a visual person. She started out life as a graphic designer. She is a branding expert. She's really into having an image. Images are really good because images and words work together to make a richer experience in the brain. So most audiences are going to respond to some visuals, right? Just saying that Pamela is really speaking from having a mock-up here, and she's going to talk about some different ways we can create an image here to make the message more compelling. Again, we're craftspeople, and so how we create this additional, sensory richness is going to vary a lot from business to business. Okay, so the second paragraph is where we give our buyer hope. It paints a vivid picture of their life as it could be, the future world. And again, this can be in a small way or it can be in a very deep and profound way. Very often, we walk people down a path from solving their next problem to solving the deepest problem. Okay, but we're all different. We're not going to mention the offer yet, but we are going to talk about what their life will be like after they experience the transformation that this offer is designed to deliver. So we're touching on the transformation without getting into the offer yet. We're going to get there very shortly. So we're going to write the second paragraph of the sales page, vividly describing their future world, giving them hope. So we'll do that word part of it next. We'll do the same. We'll give 2 minutes. So if you're with us on the replay, take that worksheet out, or just your laptop or a notebook if you're like to work pen and paper, which I do, and write for 2 minutes about what is their future world going to look like. I will mute myself for 2 minutes. We have about 1 minute left. All right, well done, well done, well done. And we have an example here. And the example points to something that's really important. So first let me read what I just put popped into the box. It's not always going to be like this. There really will come a day when the problem doesn't hurt anymore, or the irritation has been forgotten, or the lovely thing that you want is something you're enjoying every day. And we had an example with just a quick draft. This is a 2 minute draft, right? It's good as we are writing this and mulling on it and thinking about the things we did last week. Anytime we can bring in a detail to make it feel real, that's always good. You know, this is team members have the ability to stay calm in the face of an irritating or upsetting behavior, which is good. It's high level. It's a little bit 10,000 feet, maybe 5,000 feet. When we say, when your specific title of your team member, right, can stay calm, even when a patient has just thrown their breakfast on the floor because they're so angry and frustrated, or has just used a racist slur, you know, or something like that. Getting as specific as we can. It's a funny thing about specifics because specifics feel like they're exclusive, but actually they're inclusive. When you speak to something that has really happened in the real world, the person feels like that has happened to me, you know? It's why stand-up comedy works. It's why it's just empathy is improved by specifics, even if that person isn't that specific thing. Even if the puppy is not necessarily peeing behind the couch, they're peeing, they're like, okay, I'm the peeing, but they have nibbled everybody in the house till everybody's raw with the piranha teeth. It's, you know, we can feel it because it's sensory, and so we can empathize with it. So including a sensory example or two when we can. It will make this feel really, really real. And it is always a balance, right? We don't want to exclude by having an example nobody's going to relate to. But if we have an example people have at least seen, if not, that might not be the number one thing that's bugging them, but they've definitely seen it. They'll feel seen, right? When we use an example that comes from their real world. Okay, so section four, we're going to present the offer. And this is the first place that we will mention the offer name on the sales page. I'm really reading, slightly paraphrasing from Pamela here. Run a large headline at the top of this section. Good words that you can start with. It's not necessarily going to be this way, but these are good things are presenting, now available, meet, and then the offer name. And then under the headline, sharing a mock-up graphic that shows the offer in a way that makes it appear tangible. Now, Pamela walks through a couple of opportunities for this, depending on if it's a product or a service. So a product might be a course, it could be a book, it could be a program, it could be a package of some kind that's got graphics. So Pamela has given some examples here from her offers, and they're very, she shares things, she's got worksheets, she's got graphics, she's got presentation graphics. But not everyone's offering something like that. So if you're offering a service, you can represent your offer with a photo of a happy customer who looks like they've experienced the transformation you deliver. If you happen to have images of you doing something, that is really swell. Like one of the things I love having is a photo of somebody who's a sometime business partner in Creative Fears. Toril Wilhelmsen, she's my wonderful Norwegian partner, and she shared with me a photo of Toril looking at some Creative Fierce material on her computer. So it's great. I can use that when I want to illustrate, working with people over Zoom or working with people in workshops. And you can use more than one image, so you can represent more than one kind of customer. So I'm sharing with you some examples from Pamela. If you offer web design packages, you can show somebody proudly showing off their website. I could use that Toril picture for that. If you offer family counseling, you can show a united family enjoying each other's company and doing something fun. If you offer business coaching, you show a confident business leader. Now, the thing that can be tricky, it's much better than it used to be. When I started doing this kind of work, you would go on to like whatever the stock photo place was. I think I used to use iStockPhoto, and you would get tons of people in suits having emotions. So like somebody in a full business suit jumping for joy, and they were so cliched. It was just embarrassing. We have more options now. But I would try not to have somebody in a business suit jumping for joy. But there are more now. I use Unsplash a lot. Okay. Anytime you use an image, you must have the legal right to use that image. So if you're using it from iStockPhoto, you have to pay them a licensing fee. Sometimes that license doesn't last forever, it might last for a year. Make sure you know. You absolutely 1,000,000% cannot go out on the web and just get an image. And I only say this because many people believe that if it's published to the web, that means the person has given up copyright. This is not true, and it can be a very, very expensive five-figure mistake to make. So do not do that. Unsplash, you have a license on Unsplash, and it's like unlimited use to do whatever you want with it. As a courtesy, they ask you to give a credit. You'll notice it's small, but in my slide decks, there's always a little credit about where it came from on Unsplash. If you use something like Flickr, different people have different licenses. Make sure you are really rock solid. And I just go through that. This must be something you really know, but if you don't know, I don't want you to have an expensive problem. But Unsplash has lots of like people dressed in, business casual, having conversations. I like those. I tend to like those. You've probably noticed if you've looked at my slides, I use a lot of those. Photos are about creating an emotional texture that adds resonance to the words, because words and images together create a more powerful impression in the brain than either one of those things all by themselves. Okay, so we're going to write the section of the headline. I'm just going to give us a minute for that. It probably won't even take a minute, but just what is your thing called that you want to sell with this sales page? And then how does it feel, presenting the path to purchase? Now available, the path to purchase sales course, sales page course. Meet, the Creative Fierce implementation co-working session. So use a word like that. And then state the offer name. And if you have a tagline, use your tagline as well. So I'll give us just a minute. That might be more time than you need, and you can always flesh it out later. And I will mute myself for 1 minute. All right, that's the 1 minute. I just threw in a, I wouldn't say it's the world's most exciting example, but presenting the path to purchase sales page course, get a high performing sales page written without the stress or a five figure copywriter. That word written in there, that would be a possible tagline, right? Another tagline could be sales pages without stress. Any kind of tagline you've got in there. A tagline is generally used in, people use taglines to do different things. I generally use a tagline to just add a little clarity, maybe to that path to purchase sales page course, if there's anything about it that isn't super clear about what that offer might be. Okay. And then just give yourself a minute to think about what kind of mock-up or photo or imagery do you think you might want to use? Another caveat here, okay, we're all carpenters, we're all going to do it differently. I personally advise against using an AI generated image here. It's really tempting. They haven't been around for very long and they already look really generic. We're all different and we're all going to do it in a different way. The other thing about an AI generated image is if you're using the image, it's not copyrightable. Anybody can take that image and use it any way they want to, because at the moment of this recording, we cannot copyright purely AI generated material. And an image is always, it doesn't iterate. You can't go in, unless you're a designer, you can't go in and iterate it. So I don't love them. I'd rather use a real photograph somebody took on Unsplash that I can use for free. And it's a real work of art created by a real artist. That's my preference. We're all different, so I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you what I think. I'll give you just a minute to just brainstorm any ideas or thoughts, or look for a photo, illustrating this kind of emotion and this kind of concept. I will mute myself for a minute. Very good, very good. Okay, now we're going to start sections 5 and 6. 5 is our features and benefits. We touched on this a lot last week, that feline framework, features emotional benefits, logical benefits. Those were the logical benefits and the emotional benefits and the features, right? So the first three letters of feline are our features and our benefits. And we will, those are just one of those things you just come up with all the time. It's just kind of the bread and butter of our copywriting lives. So now that we've presented the offer in terms of just we've said there's a name and a tagline, we're going to use the next section to talk about the transformation that an offer delivers. Every offer, small, tiny little offers, and big life-changing offers. Last week I talked about Ed Dial's, I hope that's really his name, because it might be Ed Deal. I've translated it in my head to his Australian accent. I think it's Ed Deal. His offer was make your first dollar online, and that was a free offer that translated. It was a threshold offer that translated into his longer program. So some offers can be very, very small. Threshold offers tend to be small and unintimidating. Now that we've presented it, but whatever it is, it's going to offer some kind of a transformation. So to do this, you're going to write a short paragraph that explains what that transformation is. And then you're going to do a brief description of the features, what's in the box, what's included in this offer. And then you follow this with a bulleted list of benefits. Benefits are what people get out of it. So we spent a lot of time on those benefits, which we talked about last week. Now, features do matter. Features are important. People do need to know what's actually like in my box, whether it's an actual box or a metaphorical box. When I open the box, what's inside? What's my stuff? What are the modules? What are the worksheets? What are the components, right, of this offer? So features are important, but people make the buying decision based on what they get out of it. So when you have a feature, if you add the words so you can, and then finish the blank, that's where we can come up with a benefit. Okay. So Pamela offers an example from her Offer Accelerator program. The Offer Accelerator is a 12-month high-touch coaching program that includes a step-by-step curriculum, weekly coaching, project reviews, and support. You get. Okay, so that's the features. The features, the thing in the box are it takes 12 months, it's a high touch coaching program, it's got a curriculum, it's got weekly coaching, it's got project reviews, and it's got support. Those are the things that are in that box. If it's a checklist, you get a checklist. You get a 7-step checklist, right? It can be huge or it can be tiny. But those are the features. And then the bulleted list, these are the benefits. The bulleted list of benefits are a step-by-step curriculum. That's the feature. So you can follow a proven process to build your offer. That's the benefit. That's a logical benefit. Weekly coaching, so you never get stuck as you design, develop, and optimize your high-value offer. Weekly coaching is the feature. You never get stuck. It's kind of a cross between a logical and an emotional benefit. I will say Pamela is a very logic-driven entrepreneur. She tends to lean on the logical side of the house. If I were writing this bullet, I would say, so you never get frustrated as you design, develop, and optimize your high-value offer. That is a little bit shading more towards emotion. Logic and emotions are not as different as we think they are. They're both kinds of cognition, right? One just involves more body. Frustration is something we feel in the body. Feeling stuck can be something that we can be more intellectualized about. Recorded project reviews. We're switching to the next bullet. Recorded project reviews. That's the feature. So you have the guidance you need to produce professional quality work. That's, I would say, a rather logical benefit. So you don't feel like you're doing this, you're never doing this all by yourself. That's maybe a more emotionally shaded version of the same benefit, right? And then a private community so you can report your wins, share your challenges, and get support. I still run that community for her, by the way. It's really, that's logical. You can report your wins, share your challenges, get support, but it's logic shading to emotion. You always have a community that's got your back. Anytime you feel stuck or frustrated, you have a community to celebrate your joys and troubleshoot your disasters. You know, that might be a little bit more emotionally shaded. We're just two different kinds of carpenters. The chair we build looks a little different, but we're using the same materials, right? We're using hammers, we're using glue, we're using nails, whatever we're using. Okay. So write that short paragraph that describes the offer's features. What's actually in the box? This does not take long if it's a seven-item checklist. It takes a little longer if it's a longer course. I'll give us a minute. If you don't need a minute, you can start thinking about benefits. But just what do you want to include in this offer? What's in the box of stuff? I'll mute myself for a minute. All right, well done. That's our minute. And now I'll give you 2 minutes for this one. Write down a list of five to seven bullets that describe the benefits. And it's useful. That's why we do that with Feline, where we take the features and then we tie them to the benefits of the features. And so if this is a smaller offer, that's got a benefit, right? A one-page document, so you don't get stuck down a rabbit hole. You know, is a great example of a benefit. Short and to the point, so you're not spending hours on, training that you don't have time for. So, give you 2 minutes on this guy, and just write down, you know, as many bullets as you have time for in 2 minutes. You might not use them all, or you might use them all. By the way, bullets, when you put them on the sales page, five or seven is best. Three is okay if it's a very, very small, you know, it's a one pager. Even numbers are better. They just look better on the page. If you absolutely have to have four, you know, there's no sales page police. Nobody's going to come knocking on your door, but five to seven is best practice. Three is fine for a very, very tiny offer. So I'll give you 2 minutes to just draft some of those. Less than 1 minute left. All right. Well done, well done. And again, if you were with us last week, you probably have some of these to mine and arrange. You can see how writing a sales page, it really is made of pieces, and then those pieces can get rearranged. Sometimes you can use the same benefits and features for different products because they're, within a larger umbrella of what you do. So it's very modular. It's why I like the Lego idea. You put it together in lots of different ways. Or you have the potential anyway. Okay, here's something you might have and you might not have. So we'll talk about what to do if you have them and what to do if you do not have them. All right, customer testimonials. That's section six. So these can be some of the most convincing copy on your sales page. So we want to put them here. And sometimes we have to get creative about where they're going to come from. So if you have never launched this product, so you do not have testimonials for it yet, you could share customer feedback that mentions you. You can share, and I'm gonna include lots of different ideas here because people in this course are coming from a lot of different places. If you've worked with colleagues who really value some aspect about you that is applicable to this offer, you can mention that. I do it all the time. Brian Clark has something. Sonia Simone is one of the best content marketers, one of the best writers in the content marketing space, period. I've memorized it because I use it in almost everything I do. That was something that, I don't know, it was like from an interview or something that he did. And I said, can I use this as testimonial? And I do. I asked Joanna Wiebe for the same thing. Joanna and I have never worked together, but she gave me a testimonial speaking to my skills and abilities. Pam Slim once said in a podcast interview that Sonia Simone is on my Jedi Council of email marketing, of experts for email marketing. Absolutely, I use that as a testimonial. So somebody who knows what you do and speaks well of it. If you have referrals on LinkedIn, those are testimonials. I always like to ask people, may I please use this? But that's why they put it there, right? To tell other people how great you are. Another place to look for testimonials if you don't have them is your email box. If you've worked with clients, have they emailed you back and said, thank you, this is just what I need. I have one from Pamela Wilson that says, this is like copy that hits, it feels almost magical to get copy that hits all the right notes. I emailed her back. I said, may I use that as a testimonial? And she said, absolutely. Sometimes you will ask for testimonials, right? Ask people, can you share something that really worked well about this engagement if you know the person is happy? Try to make that part of your process for if you work with clients for a client engagement. Right? And ask when they're happy. Don't ask when they're frustrated. Ask when they're happy. Anything someone else said about you is fair game, and you do want to ask before you use it. Pamela's got some things here. Again, very much she's a graphics first person. I still do see people on their websites putting their testimonials in a slider where it's like testimonial and then slides to the next one. We want people to read it. Those sliders are frustrating for people. There aren't a lot of cases where we want to put something good in a slider because it makes it hard for people to read it, right? Pamela suggests, I agree with this, edit the testimonial. You don't have to use the whole thing. When we say edit, I believe strongly that means clip the good part and use the good part. I don't reword testimonials. I do not clean up grammar in testimonials. Mostly because a testimonial is more convincing if it's somebody's imperfect informal language. I once worked with a salesperson and who came into our writer's room and said, who wrote the copy for the release we did this morning? And I said, I did. He said, wow, you're a really good word put togetherer. I would never edit that to say you're a really good writer, because you're a really good word put togetherer is really just real and distinctive, and you're a good writer is completely vanilla and forgettable, right? I've never forgotten those words. They're so distinctive. So I love that. So don't clean it up for grammar. It's okay to clean it up for spelling. That's fine. But you may want to clip it to make it shorter. So edit it to just pull out the highlight. Don't edit it to clean up the grammar. You don't need to clean up people's grammars. It's fine. It actually makes it more cool and interesting and genuine if somebody has used something that's, let's say, a little bit vernacular. Remember, the linguists tell us there's no such thing as bad grammar, only grammar that's not appropriate to the situation. Okay. You may want to highlight a single sentence, put it in bold. That's a good thing to do. I do that a lot. And you can use that as a headline at the top of the testimonial. So Pamela's example, one of the best online courses I've taken. And you can look in the worksheet. I won't read every single word of it here. And then she's got the person's name, and you'll notice she has included a photo. That person has given their permission for an image to be used. Photos and names make testimonials more believable. Some of us are in topics where our clients do not want to give names or photos. They want to preserve anonymity. That's okay. You can just use initials. EB, I had a wonderful client. I loved her. Her clients are in recovery from disordered eating. They do not necessarily want their names or their photos to be anywhere near her testimonial page, but she can say, EB, fully recovered after 20 years of binge eating disorder, something like that. So you can use their situation. And then you can actually include all names all names and identities are disguised to protect my client's privacy. So that person's initials are not EB. That person's initials are FW. But or so if part of your business is dealing with sensitive topics, highlight that in the testimonials. Making buyers feel safe to buy is one of our most important tasks as copywriters. So if you're in a sensitive topic, then include that, and say, these are real words, but I have completely hidden the identities of the people who said them, because and I have used this with their permission, and nonetheless, I've used this with their permission. So making people feel safe is always one of the most important jobs of your sales page and all of your marketing materials. Okay, so that's the testimonial and how to get one. And again, if it's giving you trouble, we'll brainstorm and find a way. There's usually somebody in your life, we'll aim for two to start, who said something nice about you. And if there isn't, you can ask them for one. I mean, my 19-year-old that just got his first job. So his references came from his high school robotics team. But those people did absolutely know what it was like to work with him. Okay, pricing table. This one can be tricky. All right. So if again, if you're running into stuck sticky spots, then we'll work it out. Section 7 is this pricing table. We're going to talk about some money. We're going to talk about what they get, and we're going to talk about what they pay. Pamela recommends. I agree. It's smart to offer two versions. So this could be a pay in full and a payment plan, if you want to offer a payment plan. Quick 5 seconds, probably more than 5 seconds about payment plans. Some people are not going to make the second payment. That is how life works. However, you will often find that you end up with more cash in the bank by letting people spread the payments out. Now, if it's a very, very small threshold offer, don't offer a payment plan on a $7 ebook, right? We really don't need customers who have trouble making a $7 payment, but you could. There's so many different ways to structure payment. We can get super creative. So if you want to get creative, shoot me a note and we'll talk about it. But pay in full or a payment plan for, anywhere, anything starting at maybe $100 and going up from there, you might want to offer a payment plan. If you do not care to offer a payment plan, that's also fine. It's your business and it's your thing. You could offer a regular version and a VIP version. So you've got the regular version that delivers the essential parts of the offer, and the price is just easier for right now. And price two is a VIP version that offers extra stuff. A lot of times that will be time with you or more time with you or one-on-one time with you. So price one might get a group session or multiple group sessions, and price two might be more one-on-one time. So that is another offer. Now, if it's a seven item checklist, do you have to have two price points? Probably not. If it's very simple, just make it easy and just make it one thing. It's just make it so easy to just, the no-brainer, right? Just add it to the cart and go. And in that case, writing your sales page, you've probably done already, right? Just fill in the sections and go and let it be very minimum and very simple. So you do not have to have two versions, but it's often a good idea to have two versions. And there's more ways to do this than we can even think about. So if you're not sure, just let's email me and we'll talk about what would work for you. Make it easy to compare your two options by running them next to each other. Features clearly spelled out in list form. Again, if you only have one, just have one. Most of our, page generators that we're using in this world will have a pricing table often, a pricing table option, and that pricing table will generally give you the option of doing 1, 2, 3, 5, 7, 17. 3 is generally the most we want to put on one page, right? Among other things, the writing, I mean, even on the worksheet, this writing is tiny, right? I bump the writing up, bump the font up, okay? People need to be able to see it. The three version is gold, silver, platinum, right? So it can be the silver. The silver has got everything you need to make a meaningful transformation. It's got everything you need. It might not have everything you want. Gold, if you're going to structure it this way, can be like, best value. Gold usually is the one we want people to take. Platinum is your, some people are just platinum people. They're like, what's the most expensive one? Because that's always the best. We all have different audiences. Some audiences don't have a platinum customer. Some audiences always take the silver. Give me the basic one, If you don't have any platinum customers, there's a million ways to skin it. I won't go through a million iterations, despite my temptation to. All right. So the features are clearly spelled out in list form, and these are features that are paired with benefits. So Pamela's version, one payment plan, get extra bonuses when you pay in full. This is the one we want them to take, right? I like to highlight the one. She's done it here, best deal. Again, those website, creators, there's going to be a payment page template, and it's going to include one that's like, you want people to get this one. One payment today, best price. Here's what you get. Six modules to build your content confidence week by week. So there's six modules. That's the feature. Build your content confidence week by week. That's a benefit. Captioned videos, worksheets, custom content tools. Support in our private content lab community for 6 months. The date here, okay, it's important to know. Well, is it support forever? Is it for 60 days? Is it for a year? This is a kind of a, she's included kind of a hybrid because one of her things was 12 months, but this is the 6 month version. It's just an example. Access to monthly live content reviews for 6 months. Bonus, best practices for search engine optimization. Bonus, plug and play email marketing templates. And then here we got extra stuff, right? So we can compare. We've all seen those charts. Plus these pay in full bonuses. Content starters, 75 ideas to get your gears running, content editing training, and plug and play content templates for about and home pages. So that's how that can look. I'm not going to give you, I'm not gonna do free writing here because if you're not ready, this is not really a free writing exercise. It's like you either know it and you're just gonna drop, copy and paste it, or you don't know it and it's gonna take you some time to fill it out. But fill in the worksheet with the name of the thing and the name of the offer, the price, and the features list. If you only want to offer one variant, just do one. If you want to do gold, silver, platinum, do it for three, or do it for two. Two is really good. Two is especially for a more threshold offer, gold, silver, platinum. I wouldn't necessarily do gold, silver, platinum. So we can work this out individually, but we won't do free writing here because you've either figured this out, in which case you don't need the time, or you haven't figured it out, in which case 1 or 2 minutes is not enough time. Okay, and then a guarantee. And we'll talk here about what makes a good guarantee. Guarantee, this is also called risk reversal, directly follows the pricing table. It reassures prospects who are hovering over the buy button. It takes away the risk of making the purchase. Okay, we've talked in sections before about the hidden objection. I'm afraid I'm just going to feel dumb if I buy this because I've already tried this and it didn't work last time because I didn't show up. I didn't consume the material. I wasn't smart enough. I wasn't diligent enough. A lot of times it comes back to I wasn't enough and it didn't work and I don't want to feel bad again. Guarantees are powerful persuasive tools. So again, this we won't do a necessarily a free writing, but what I will do is if anything is just jumping to mind, we'll have a little time to just sketch out some quick thoughts. So Pamela's tips for good guarantees. First of all, okay. Before we start Pamela's best tips, if you offer a service, let's say you're a copywriter. Don't copywriters do not offer guarantees exactly. If you are a web designer, if you do a thing, if you do a service, once they have paid the deposit, they don't get that deposit back. There is a non-refundable guarantee when you spend your time, your expertise, your art, your craft, time on your schedule, that is normally not refundable time. I just want to put that up there. You do not have to offer a money back guarantee for your time. It's not normal. It's not customary. And pros do not do it. They absolutely do not do it. Not one pro copywriter in 50 would offer a money back. Who's been doing it for a while, who's experienced, would offer a money back guarantee on their copy, because whether the copy is successful does not, it depends on too many things that are not you. So if you are in that boat, again, we can talk about risk reversal elements for that. All right, so now we're going to switch over to Pamela's tips for winning guarantees. Consider giving your guarantee a name that reinforces what you deliver. The Empowered Coach Guarantee, the Life Mastery Guarantee, the Confident Baker Guarantee. These all describe how your customer will feel once you have delivered the transformation. So they're just an, it's another little bit of, it's like a little headline for the risk reversal. Be generous, refunds are rare. A strong, confident guarantee will help increase conversions and boost your revenue. Consider a 30-day, a 60-day, or even a 90-day guarantee. I will tell you that sometimes this is not as common as it used to be. It has happened that your credit card provider will say, we don't want you to give a 90-day guarantee because your credit card, because that's beyond the window when they can ask for a chargeback. Now you can still send them a thing. You can say 90-day guarantee if you've given this a try and it doesn't work for you, I'll Venmo you your money back. And there's just different ways people do this, okay? And then use trust symbols. This one anybody can do to reinforce your guarantee. Re represent your guarantee with images, not just words. Find stock art or have a designer Create an image that represents your guarantee. She's included some examples here. If you're a member of the Better Business Bureau, you can put your Better Business Bureau thing here. So here's something that I learned. I had a copywriting client, and they do user experience experiments. They have a really cool, interesting business. They ran tests on this, and a made-up trust symbol outperformed any of the real trust symbols. And it wasn't real by a huge margin. What the results really mean is it doesn't matter what's there as long as it looks like a symbol. And it looks like a symbol that's provided by somebody who's not you. So that's really, you can use a stock symbol that's just, 30-day guarantee, results guaranteed, satisfaction guaranteed. It should speak to your guarantee. But something visual there that looks like it's out of brand with your brand. It does not use your brand colors. It does not use your brand font. It looks like it comes from a third provider. Just makes people relax. It's just a weird little psychology visual trick. And there's so many of these. If you put a box, a graphic box around where they put their credit card information, more people will put their credit card information in there. It's just, this stuff is just psychology. It's just visual psychology. Okay, oh good. And Pamela does speak to here. It's difficult to offer a guarantee on services. Also, I will add, it makes you look like an amateur. It makes you look like you're a desperate beginner. Now, there's exceptions to everything. We're all different kind of carpenters. So, you might be incredibly accomplished copywriter and you do offer a guarantee. A few of them do, but most don't. Once the service is delivered, you can't get the time back. So you can guarantee an aspect. Speed of delivery, 24/7, like kind of plumbers do, like if we're like a pizza, like we won't guarantee you like the pizza, but we will guarantee it will be done and in your door within 2 hours. We can, I guarantee your copy will be ready on time, proofread by the deadline, or you get your money back. Now, I'm not guaranteeing you're gonna like it. One of the things I do with my copy is I say this proposal includes two rounds of revisions as if needed. So if we don't hit it the first time, you get two rounds of revisions to make it right. But I absolutely don't guarantee that at the end of the two rounds of revisions, you're going to be glowing with happiness. But what you can do to reverse the risk is right under that, you put a testimonial saying, "Sonia delivered copy on time." Like Pamela's thing, it was almost feels almost magical to get copy that hits all the right notes. I delivered it for Pamela. I'll deliver it for you too. So an on-time delivery, that is something you have control over. Only guarantee, in my opinion, what you can control. You can get audacious and create a simple unconditional service guarantee if you feel more than 100%. I would say if you feel 5,000% confident about your ability to deliver that result, you could make that kind of delivery. But I would rather reverse the risk there with a testimonial saying, "See, other people got it. You can get it too." Okay, so I'm going to give you a minute just to. If you have anything's coming up, you're not married to it. And then we're just about done here. Just a few, one or two last thoughts. So I'll give you a minute just to absorb, decompress, and then we'll wrap up with last thoughts. All right, let's wrap it up. We went longer this time than we did last time. That's okay. All right. If what you're selling is on the less expensive side, it is more of a threshold offer. It's something that people, it might be you had them at hello offer. This is all you need. And you can make this one short and sweet. If it's under $100, I probably would not go anything over this. Just fill these out in a straightforward way. You don't have to make it fancy. You don't have to use beautiful poetic language. Just make it clear, short, social, friendly, and you are done. Okay, under $100, you are done. Now, this template was for people who had high value offers. So it's really designed for not, it's not designed for under $100. It's designed for more than that. Anywhere from, I would say, $100 to $500, this is probably good enough. But if you feel like something could be a little more compelling, then more testimonials is always my first choice for making things more compelling. And where you talk about, like where you talk about, you could pull out a feature. Like if there's a hero feature, you know, like for me, it would be like reviews, right? If that's a hero feature, this you can pull that out as a section. This includes product reviews, and then I might have a testimonial about I was so stuck. Like we had a beautiful thing happen in the first section of this program where somebody had just been wrestling with this just one dang thing, and we got her unstuck in a single section. I would include that in a hero section about, you know, sometimes magic happens and we can unstuck something that's plagued you for a decade in under an hour, right? And I was so I'd have a little customer story there. You can repeat the pricing table and the guarantee. If you have to talk more about it, sometimes we have to talk more about the features and the benefits because there's just a bigger box. In that case, it's a, you know, over $1,000 program. You may need it to be longer because you might want to talk about kind of chunks of products and services. And then you could add a bio. I like to add a bio. I like to let people know who they're working with. It does depend on, you know, how much of you is in your business. And you can add, this is a really powerful one to add, an FAQ. We've talked about the FAQ before. It's a frequently raised objections. So if you have time, and again, you're in the kind of more than $500 range, an FAQ is really, really good. It's a really, really good thing. So that's it. All right. And you can, this is an editable PDF, so you can fill this out and send it to me if you want. Or if you want to send me to a version of your sales page that's on a Google Doc, that's also great. If you want to include some things maybe that there wouldn't be room for here, that's either way, terrific for me. Whichever way you're comfortable, or both. Fill out the sales page copy creator, send it to me, and then start popping that into, you know, if you have a website sales page generator, something like that. All right. I'm gonna stop the recording here. Then if we have any live questions, we can address them, or we can just call this a good, exhausting hour and 17 minutes.